We continue our reading of the Gospel of Matthew, coming today to Matthew chapter 21. We'll read verses 1 to 22. Now, there's 28 chapters in the Gospel of Matthew. We're in chapter 21. So far, we've covered 3 years in Jesus' ministry, but almost all the rest of the book is going to handle the material that happens in this last week. And it begins with Jesus' arrival at the city of Jerusalem on what we term Palm Sunday, his triumphal entry, where he appears and presents himself to the people as the long-promised king. And there's many emblems of Jesus' sovereignty. He's able to procure a donkey in order to fulfill the promise, the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, in a way you will hear is supernatural. And that donkey, of course, was a symbol of the Davidic kingdom. It's what Solomon rode when he came to be king. And the people were there in great numbers. They'd heard miracles. In fact, John's gospel tells us the day beforehand, Jesus had raised a dead man, Lazarus, in a town outside Jerusalem. And we're told that the word of that spread like wildfire. And the crowds were there. And they're hailing Jesus. They're calling him Hosanna, son of David. And yet, there's something wrong with it all, and the detail that tells us what is wrong is actually the palm branches. Many times in my life as a Christian, I've seen churches on Palm Sunday bring the children up to wave palms, not realizing that that palm was the problem. It was a symbol of the zealot party, of the Hasmonean kings beforehand. It was a way of saying what we're looking for is a military deliverer. Our problem is Rome. That's what the palm branch has a lot of meanings, but in their context, it was the symbol of the zealot party. And Jesus did not come to be a political messiah. He did not come to deliver them from their earthly overlords. He came to deliver them from sin. That's what he came for, and that's why so much of what happens during these days between Palm Sunday and Good Friday involves Jesus speaking in a way. He's not being very positive because he's trying to convict them of their sin, because conviction of sin is necessary to coming to God for the grace that Jesus also offers. And so he comes to the temple and he cleanses it. You would think the king, the long-awaited king, he'd come to the temple and say how great it is. Jesus didn't think it was great at all. It was all about money, and he drove out the money changers. Reminds us that the purpose of our worship is not money for the church. The Lord provides money for the church other ways. But it's the worship of God. If you ask the question, what is the goal of our worship service? Many people will say evangelism. My friends, evangelism is not the primary purpose of our worship. Others will say, well, it's edification. It's the building up of the saints. That is also not. But those, by the way, are byproducts. What a blessing it is that you get those. When you say, no, the true purpose of our worship is doxology, my friends, we have come here primarily to give glory to him who is worthy of it. And Jesus says, my house is to be called a house of prayer. Our worship is to be holy. It's to be directed to God. There's an object. There's a recipient of our worship. And it is neither the culture nor you nor me. It's God. And they needed to be convicted of these things. And so then he comes across a fig tree. A fig tree was an emblem of the people of Israel. And he finds it without fruit. And he takes it as a symbol of their condition. In fact, he curses it. May no fruit ever come from you. And the fig tree withered. You might be thinking, you know, if I was a PR, public relations person, this is not the entry I would have envisioned for Jesus coming to Jerusalem. If he keeps this up, they're going to kill him. Well, that was exactly the point. They needed to be delivered from their sins, so do we. And the beginning of this whole dramatic phase of Jesus' final week begins in verse 1. Let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you make it a den of robbers." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. And they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you read, 'Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise?'" And leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there. In the morning, as he was returning to the city, he became hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it and found nothing on it but only leaves. And he said to it, "May no fruit ever come from you again." And the fig tree withered at once. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither at once? And Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.